Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Your Coping Skills Aren't Working, How to Break Free from the Habits That Once Helped You But Now Hold You Back, by Richard Bruyette, LCSW. Foreword by Wendy T. Beharry, LCSW. Narrated by Lee Gatel. Foreword. People often come to psychotherapists in distress regarding a feeling of being flawed or defective, lonely, isolated, or deprived that is often accompanied by a self-defeating pattern that is making their life hard, a behavior, feeling, or thought that is difficult to change. "I just can't stop doing it, and I don't know why," is a common plea. Whether it's dealing with the feeling of walking around like an imposter in your own skin, unable to share your feelings with others or advocate for yourself, or struggling to manage your angry outbursts, the fact is, all humans face certain challenges in daily life and long-standing patterns that may be linked with personal life narratives. These unchallenged truths about who we are and how the world works may cause us to get stuck on the journey to change, making it difficult to get out of our own way. Long-standing coping styles, while helpful when we are small and powerless, may not be easily unlearned as we launch into adulthood. These coping styles can become self-defeating over time and may perpetuate the very consequences we seek to avoid. In other words, your coping skills are part of the problem, triggering the all-too-familiar and upsetting outcomes. The therapist facilitates a process where clients learn to observe activating conditions that lead to implicitly memorized behavioral responses and reimagine, through integrated strategies, a corrective emotional experience, one in which they get their early unmet emotional needs met. It's a challenging endeavor, bypassing lifelong ways of coping and sustaining distance from deeply embedded beliefs. And, once accomplished, the work is about developing healthy patterns for living in the world and effectively relating with others. In 1993, Jeffrey Young and Janet Klosko wrote Reinventing Your Life as a self-help book that translated Jeffrey Young's schema therapy model for the general reader audience. They introduced the term life trap as a way of understanding long-held biased emotional beliefs that get triggered under certain reminiscent conditions, deepening the grooves of distress and dissatisfaction. As an expert in schema therapy and founder and director of the Cognitive Therapy Center of New Jersey and the Schema Therapy Institutes of New Jersey, New York City, and Washington, D.C., I have decades of experience witnessing the relief the schema therapy approach offers to people with maladaptive coping reactions, or life traps. I have a specialty in working with individuals with issues of narcissism as well as those who are dealing with narcissists in their lives and have had the privilege to witness the courage of these clients, as well as others, who engage in the work that can lead to satisfying transformational experiences, making for a healthy and more fulfilling quality of life. Therefore, I am delighted to see that my colleague Richard Bruyette was so inspired by Reinventing Your Life that he decided to write a self-help book with the mission of offering audiences the latest developments in schema therapy. I met Richard when he came to New Jersey to attend my training program, and I recognized the same warmth, humor, and down-to-earth tone in his writing that he brought to the classroom. Part of my work as a trainer involves helping clinicians to attune to their clients as human beings, to be real with them, and I recall Richard being particularly inspired by this notion. He shows up with a rare and rich authenticity and a robust connection to his audience. If this is your first experience with schema therapy, you've landed a great resource. This is a most meaningful contribution to the self-help audience as well as the therapist looking to understand this incredible treatment approach. The full schema therapy approach involves a set of concepts, questionnaires, labels, and techniques that, taken together, can feel like a lot of moving parts for the newcomer. In this book, Richard skillfully distills the core themes of self-understanding, self-talk, solid behavior change, and self-compassion into accessible and user-friendly tools you can put into practice. This book helps you understand the core concepts of schema therapy, as well as the strategies for change and how schema therapy can work in a self-help context. You will learn how to connect difficult or painful, challenging early life experiences with tough feelings such as inadequacy, shame, anger, criticalness, or abandonment, and how these emotional beliefs lead to specific survival reactions, such as detachment, overcompensation, and compliant surrender, and how such patterns lead to frustration in the present moments. A schema therapist recognized these concepts as schemas and modes, and Richard cleverly helps you to make sense of these beliefs and behaviors as they link with your origin story. The most innovative aspects of the book are those most practical. Each chapter pairs schema therapy concepts with exercises to put those ideas to use, whether you are learning more about your core needs, schemas and modes, or practicing how to get in touch with and enhance your healthy, caring adult mode. Richard shares exercises coming from the canon of schema therapy, including the use of a schema diary, the flashcard, imagery, and chair work. But he adapts them for the self-help audience with skillful effort and thoughtfulness. His mode theater map is particularly handy as a memorable way to visualize parts of the self. A schema therapist is always mindful of the need to bring the process back to helping their client make real and sustainable change in their life, and you'll find the same determination in this book. Everyday tools, including the use of your smartphone, will assist you in staying on track with a focus on your goals, your healing destination. A core element of schema therapy is compassion and care for the self as part of the healing process, and in the final section of the book, Richard sensitively uses mindfulness techniques to help you make a practice of connecting to joy and care, keeping your motivational drivers alive and attuned. If you are experiencing the challenges of self-defeating lifelong patterns and are looking for powerful tools to make change, schema therapy offers that approach. And with this book, Richard will faithfully and creatively help you to cultivate healthy, adaptive coping skills that bring growth and change into your life in a meaningful, satisfying, and sustainable way. Wendy Beharry, LCSW. Introduction. How to talk yourself into change. What the hell is wrong with me? I'm sure you've said surprisingly negative stuff like this to yourself. You may find some of these classics familiar. Why am I so lazy all the time? I'm the worst. I shouldn't say what I think. I'm lucky that anyone would be with me. I never get the attention I need from my boyfriend, but there's no point in saying anything. That's just how it is for me. When you say something like that to yourself, you're probably feeling and thinking it at the time. But if you're able to take a pause and step back, you may realize that you're not as bad as you're making yourself sound. Mean thoughts like these may be vocalizations of states of mind that ultimately you don't even fully agree with. You may not like calling yourself lazy, telling yourself to stifle your needs or to stay in a job you don't like, or generally attacking yourself in a bid to cope with the things you're facing. Though, I was in a bad mood in that moment. If people heard us say out loud the things that we say to ourselves, they would be shocked, right? Often, we have mindsets that are supposed to help, but actually make things worse. So if you deal with self-sabotage and the experience of undermining your own progress, it may be that the coping skills that come most easily to you don't actually get you the results you want in your life. Consider this. We have unique mindsets that speak to us in strong voices, and they're fighting us on reaching our goals. Sometimes you may just notice the bad feeling, or sometimes you may hear the negative thought that goes with it, but either way, it's making life harder for you. We all do it. It's funny, as human beings, we both assume that we are in charge of our lives, with free will, but we also see how often we don't exactly follow our own guidance or wishes. It can feel like we are at odds with ourselves or even at war, with one side fighting to move in one direction, while the other side is digging in and resisting. Just think about working out or studying or doing something hard. There is a communication breakdown with the self that builds until we're angrily saying to ourselves stuff like the list we just discussed. It always comes down to what we're saying to ourselves, how that talk moves us in the wrong direction, and how we may not even notice until after the damage is done. Sometimes we're our own unreliable narrator. What does this look like in your everyday life? You may be pushing yourself hard in a super demanding way, which just makes you angry and resentful all the time. You may avoid conflict and take on too much work rather than asserting yourself. You may spend your nights and weekends completely checked out from yourself and then feel bad Monday morning. You may just believe that you are incompetent and that you somehow get away with covering it up. You may feel like authority figures always treat you unfairly, then lash out at them and get in trouble. You may feel that there's no point in trying, so you just push yourself along without motivation. You may feel completely baffled about what you really want, so your days feel empty. You may feel that people don't really like you, and you avoid them. You may feel like you have to work harder than everyone else, or you'll be rejected. So if you have these kinds of experiences, I'm going to reveal to you how it's more than likely you're getting in your own way because of the difficult and painful self-talk you unleash. I'd like you to consider that if you adjust your perspective about self-talk, you can finally make positive change with less trouble. You can start talking back. The key to overcoming personal obstacles is the idea that some part of you really thinks getting in your own way works. In other words, you have a set of coping reactions to personal challenges that really feel like they will help, but they don't at all. In fact, they're making things much worse. And this has likely been going on for a long time, since childhood. I am going to help you hear when this mistaken part of you is talking and convince it to change. Another way to put it is, your coping skills aren't working, and you need to convince these coping parts of yourself to act in ways that are actually useful to you, by talking to them. If what you hear in your head is, "Why am I so lazy all the time? I'm the worst," then there is a problematic coping voice or schema that's telling you, "I have to be this hard on myself to make a difference." Or, if you think something like, "I shouldn't say what I think, I don't want to lose this relationship," the schema you're struggling with is the belief, "My needs are too much for people, and if I share them, I'll drive away the people I love." The thought, "I know I'm always the last person to leave the office, but if I don't work harder than everyone else, I'll get fired," reflects a schema, the belief, "I have to work harder than everyone else, or bad things will happen to me." And the thought, "I never get the attention I need from my boyfriend, but there's no point in saying anything," which keeps you from communicating in the ways that might actually get your needs met, reflects a schema, the belief, "People always let me down, so I have to protect myself by not setting myself up for disappointment," and so on. These examples demonstrate how negative thoughts feel like they have a helping message behind them, so we keep using them. At a young age, we learned how to protect ourselves in ways that become obstacles when we're adults, but we get stuck with them. Here's what's really going on. Being too hard on yourself makes you miserable and less motivated. Not sharing your needs with people actually makes it hard for them to relate to you. Believing you have to work harder than everyone else distorts your outlook and leads to burnout and inefficiency. Avoiding vulnerability with people leads to perpetual disappointment. The foundation of this book, Schema Therapy. This book refers to these problematic coping voices as schemas, and will explore the ways that we cope with groups of schemas called modes, how these perpetuate trouble, and how we can find a better way. You will learn how your schemas and the ways you cope were often shaped by experiences you had when you were young. An overly critical inner voice may seem to serve you because, as a kid, you thought you had to live up to high standards and watch out for yourself. Or, you may have an overly conciliatory voice that tells you it's better to let others have their way because when you were a kid, that helped you manage a domineering parent. If you have a voice telling you to be happy with what you've got and not strive for more, maybe you grew up emotionally neglected and learned it was easier to avoid getting your hopes for attention smashed once again. Whatever the experiences that brought you here, all demonstrate a unique way to address inner conflict, by taking the problematic coping voices seriously, recognizing their purpose may have served you at one time in your life and how they're holding you back now, and learning to talk back to those voices now that you're an adult who's able to cope with authority and agency. This book approaches the idea of self-talk as healing via the lens of a school of psychotherapy called schema therapy, as established by psychologist Jeffrey Young. This lens understands human psychology to be made up of schemas, which are triggered feelings and the particular core beliefs that they coalesce into, and modes, which are patterns of behavior that are shaped by our schemas. We all have our individual map of the schemas and modes that make us who we are, a map based a little bit on temperament, on our experience with emotional needs in childhood, and on the mix of care and neglect we had growing up. Schemas and modes offer a framework for understanding which parts of ourselves talk and which are painfully silenced, as well as where these parts came from, how they talk to each other, and how we can engage with what they say, want, and reveal in order to make change happen. Whoa, notice how I'm bringing more parts into the mix now? Once you get going with the schema therapy approach, the experience is challenging, lively, shockingly insightful, and deeply rewarding. Honestly, it can be fun at times, too. When my therapy clients get the hang of working with the voices of different parts, they feel a new kind of effectiveness and freedom. In the early 90s, the founder of the schema therapy method, Jeffrey Young, along with Janet Klosko, authored the book Reinventing Your Life, Young and Klosko, 1993, the original schema therapy self-help book. Young and Klosko showed us how to make sense of our history and ourselves with a simple core story. The way our needs were unmet in childhood tells us a lot about how we cope as adults and get in our own way. Your coping skills aren't working endeavors to honor the story Young and Klosko shared by expanding on it to include other schema therapy tools, like modes and additional experiential exercises. But it holds the same spirit of faith that you, the listener, armed with some helpful skills, can take yourself a very long way in overcoming your blocks. As humans, we develop our coping skills in childhood as a way of coping with unmet emotional needs and our natural dependency. Children rely on their caregivers for a sense of right and wrong, conscience, guilt, and shame, but also for self-esteem, compassion for self and others, validation of their feelings and experience, and a solid belief that there is love in their world. There's a lot on the line. The adults in children's lives act as a kind of external hard drive to help manage and build their personalities. If children lose that external help, or are shortchanged by it, they develop coping patterns that are often skewed. So, these coping patterns manifest as patterns of either relying too much on the self or putting too much on others. They stick around into adulthood. For example, maybe you overcompensate, promoting yourself as independent of others, not needing anyone, and working harder than everyone else. Maybe you find yourself thinking it's weak or foolish to rely on others. Or maybe you avoid asking much of others, sticking to your to-do list, possibly detaching from your emotions, and even detaching when you're alone, binge-watching TV, or relying on food or substances to feel numb. You might end up surrendering, accepting without question what people say about you, or feeling obligated to please people in order to get by, refraining from expressing your feelings or needs, and trying to just fit into how others see the world. Young and Klosko, 1993, pages 35 through 42. Often, when we're adults, it becomes clear that some of these old ways of coping are no longer needed, since we're no longer totally dependent on our parents and can take care of ourselves. We see that these skills are no longer useful because as adults, we're expected to be able to be independent and take care of ourselves, but we still hold on to other problematic coping skills. Why? The answer lies in our understanding that our core emotions, like fear, joy, playfulness, abandonment, sadness, guilt, and love, all connect directly to our childhood experience. You could say these core emotions are a neurological direct line to parts of our brain linked to childhood. The coping skills we developed and hold on to were also formed during this period in childhood. So when we imagine letting go of core coping skills, we're talking about changing our relationship with core emotions, which is scary and makes us recoil. To really understand that fear, we have to put ourselves in the mindset of, say, a 5-year-old child who is feeling vulnerable and defenseless. The fact is, we all still carry our own 5-year-old inside. Reaching for vulnerability. Let's take a moment to get our feet wet with an imagery exercise, Beharry 2019. The imagery exercise is a tool we will be using together in depth later in the book. For now, this is just a simple exercise to use your imagination to conjure up an image and see what emotions come up for you. It should only take a minute or two. Consider the upcoming scenario and then give it a try. As you listen to the upcoming imaginary scenario, if you think this exercise may be triggering for you, feel free to skip it. Close your eyes, focus on your posture, straighten your spine, and plant your feet flat on the ground. Take a deep breath or two. Now clear your mind and find calm. When you feel at peace, let yourself imagine you are going for a walk in your neighborhood. When you feel at peace, let yourself imagine you are going for a walk in your neighborhood and that you see a 5-year-old child across the street all alone. Fill in the description and details with your imagination. It becomes clear to you that this child is alone and lost. They don't know which way to turn and don't have anyone helping them. They see you and lock eyes with you. Okay, now freeze the frame in your mind and just hold on to the emotions you're experiencing. You're likely feeling some compassion for the child. Perhaps you are wanting to help. Other reactions are okay too. But for now, focus on what the child is feeling. What must they be going through? When you're ready, let that image fade out of your mind and let your mind go back to that calm, peaceful place free of images. Take a deep breath or two and open your eyes when you're ready. What did the child feel? How was it to empathize with the child? What emotions and reactions do you imagine the child was going through? Chances are, they were feeling a lot of tough emotions, right? Panic, fear, abandonment, helplessness, and a really scary vulnerability and desperation. Completely defenseless. Now think about how you may feel if you let go of all your coping skills. You may be connecting with a lot of the same feelings that you imagine the child going through. Defenseless, abandoned, vulnerable, and alone. This may be what it would feel like for you to think about dropping your ways of coping. Not so easy, right? Ultimately, the prospect of letting go of our most ingrained coping skills, no matter how much we have faith in our adult selves, is scary and not something that happens overnight. We have to prove to our inner child that it's going to work, that our inner child can build trust in our adult self to take care. That takes time and practice. If you haven't let go of that image from our exercise, feel free to go back and help the child find their way home now. How this book will help you make deep and lasting change. As we work on how you talk to yourself and ways you can talk back, I want to help expand your conception of what self-talk can be. Sometimes with a therapy client, I might ask something like, "If your anger could talk, what would it say?" Our self-talk can happen with emotions, feelings in our body, and unexpected behaviors and thoughts. So you will expand your fluency in understanding these different dialects and translating them back into self-awareness and conscious and productive self-talk in the service of connecting with the deepest parts of you via your inner child. Schema therapy is all about helping you find ways of living that connect with the inner child part of you and all the other parts of you to feel secure. To achieve this, we'll work simultaneously in the 4 areas of human experience: body, mind, emotions, and behavior. You will learn that the key to deep and lasting change comes from working in each of these areas, and that these 4 elements of experience inform and nourish each other. It's a dance, or dialogue, of body, thoughts, feelings, and behavior intertwined and working off each other, and looks something like this. Your body tells you what triggers you, while your mind may be detached. When your body is triggered, your thoughts and mindset can help you calm down. You can rely on your body signals and thoughts to help change behavior. Behavior change improves your self-esteem, so you feel and think better of yourself. The better you feel and think about yourself, the more you can change, and on as a cycle. Next, let's review these areas of experience in more detail. As you listen, consider the unique ways your sense of self is impacted by each. Then, in the section that follows, you'll learn more about the schema therapy tools for each experience area. Body experience. Do you feel low energy or a lack of motivation? Or are you overly tired and fatigued? Do you have trouble sleeping? Do you ever feel pressure in your chest? Do you get tense and jumpy or even panicky at times? These could all be signs of the schema-based fear you feel manifesting in your body. In more everyday experience that isn't explicitly about symptoms, schema therapy also guides you to tune in to body experience when you're having thoughts or feelings about particular topics that might activate your schemas. For example, when you're thinking of a conflict you would rather avoid, what do you feel in your body? Very often, it's pressure in the chest. Cognitive experience. In terms of symptoms, are you having negative or worrying thoughts that become obsessive, cycling, and hard to stop? Do you have thoughts that are overly judgmental of others or self-critical? Do you find you have baseline negative beliefs about relationships, such as whether people like you or whether you can trust people? These thoughts and beliefs come from the schemas you hold. They drive the symptoms you feel and limit what you're able to do. Tracking thoughts and beliefs and the effects they have on you is a hallmark of the cognitive behavioral therapy, CBT, approach, and it will help you learn to change them. Emotional experience. Do you feel waves of sadness without knowing exactly why? Do you have a hard time letting go of grief? Do you find that you become noticeably angry without knowing why? Or are you feeling absence of emotion and numbness? Is loneliness an issue, or you have a hard time enjoying your own company? Emotions are often a signpost to memories of other times that were formative for you, but possibly forgotten. Behavioral experience. Do you procrastinate in a way that is interfering with success? Are you avoidant of things you should be doing? Do you engage in a lot of numbing or detaching behavior, like binge watching? Do you think you may be abusing substances or food or overly preoccupied with dieting and working out, and that these behaviors are operating as a distraction from something rather than being ends in themselves? Are you isolating? You will learn how problematic behaviors are often signs that can help you identify what is troubling you and how to introduce new behaviors to help change thoughts and feelings. Ultimately, with this holistic four-dimension approach, you will learn how to create a dialogue among all four dimensions of your experience. This way, change you make in one dimension will influence change in the other three. The tools you will learn in this book. This book is essentially your schema therapy toolbox. In this book, you will learn a set of terms to understand yourself, techniques for learning more about what you think and feel, new ways to communicate with yourself, solid skills for making behavior change, and a new appreciation for compassion, joy, and kindness. The tools you will learn encompass the holistic four-dimension approach and will include writing exercises and journaling, self-portrait exercises with photos, imagery work, mode dialogues, diary cards and flashcards, using a planner and notifications, mindfulness meditation. You can download worksheets from our website for this book at newharbinger.com/50997. I'd also like you to have a notebook or journal to use as you go through this book. It will be helpful to have one place to look back on the work you've done, as each chapter builds on the last. Make the journal large enough so you can use it for a couple of months of daily journaling. Some folks like to pick a journal that's pleasing and special to build motivation. Others find that intimidating and just get a spiral-bound notebook. Do whatever you like. Using these tools, I'll teach you how to create a dialogue among all four dimensions of experience. This way, change in one dimension influences change in the other three. It's also true that only approaching change in a single dimension, for example, the cognitive experience, will actually result in the other three dimensions working against any progress made with just thoughts. This often undermines your effort to change, making it repetitive and exhausting. So, while certain tools will make the most impact with certain dimensions of experience, they're meant to be used together to foster successful change and growth in all four dimensions. But before we get started, I want you to know that, with this book, I'm putting all the tools on the table for you, which may seem like a lot. So just work with what you can, at your own pace, and you'll do great. You are not alone. Schema therapy as a process is about learning how to be present with the different parts that make up the whole that is you, child and adolescent you, from different points on the
Sample complete. Ready to continue?